The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, as you know, there's a number of imperatives on the government to convert our electricity system away from peat and coal and fossil fuels, to get it up from its 36% renewable electricity to 80% by 2030. And that presupposes that offshore wind won't be available. And the question has to be asked, how are we getting on with onshore wind farm development? So I have a statement here from Wind Energy Ireland, which says that the government's plans to scale up renewable energy be undermined by local authorities' anti-wind county development plans. Well, the CEO of Wind Energy Ireland joins us in the programme now, Noel Kniff. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, Ivan. Thanks for having me.
OK, so put this in context, first of all.
Sure. So Ireland today for onshore wind energy is providing about 35% of our country's electricity year in, year out. So onshore wind has been a real success story when it comes to our climate action. We are saving more carbon emissions than every other renewable energy on the island every single year. Over the next 6 years then, to 2030, we need to about double the amount of our energy that's coming from onshore wind. Today, we have 5,000 megawatts of power installed from onshore wind, and that needs to go to 9,000 by 2030. So a 4,000 jump in the next 6 years. And key to that is being able to make sure that we can get the projects through the planning system so that they can then connect onto our electricity grid, provide us with clean energy, reduce our electricity bills and reduce our carbon emissions.
So what's the problem in terms of the planning system?
So the problem is at the current rate of grants that new wind farms are achieving from An Bord Pleanála, we're going to hit Ireland's 2030 target at some point in 2044. So this is a massive miss for our country if we can't get on top of this. And the planning system continues to be the biggest single barrier to being able to hit these targets and to achieving affordable, clean, green energy. One of the main reasons for this, as you alluded to in your introduction, is because of recent rezoning that's taken place as county development plans around the country have been updated over the past 4 years or so. To give you a bit more context on that, Ivan, to build an onshore wind farm, it roughly takes 10 years from the point in time when somebody, a developer or a landowner, identifies where they want to build a wind farm to seeing those turbines spinning and providing electricity to the grid. So a lot of that time is spent in pre-planning. It's doing environmental work, it's doing community engagement, it's making sure that the site that you've chosen is suitable for a wind farm. During that time frame, there's a lot of communication with the local area to say, I will be building a wind farm in this area. What do you think? Is there anything I need to take into account in my planning? Should I place turbines in a certain position? Should I have them at a certain height? And then what we've seen is as these projects have gone into planning over the past few years, county development plans have been rezoned because they've been stuck in planning for so long. And in many situations, the land area that would have been previously acceptable to develop wind energy has now been rezoned as not favourable for wind energy. And these projects are being immediately then rejected by An Bord Pleanála.
Now,
from about 2017 to 2022, the success rate for an onshore wind farm with An Bord Pleanála was about 80%. This year, that's dropped to 30%.
So why have An Bord Pleanála stopped? So I understand if it's over 50 megawatts, you don't apply to the council for planning. You actually apply it directly under the structural infrastructure development, strategic infrastructure development. You apply directly to the board. Why have the board changed their mind?
So the reason that the board have changed their mind in the past 2 years relates back to two legal cases that was that were taken against the board based on decisions that they made related to one-off housing. And so it had nothing to do with renewable energy, but those legal cases and the ultimate judgments that came from them gave a precedent to county development plans so that they have a primacy over national policy. Again, to put this into context, the EU policy for developing renewable energy is extraordinary. We need to get our continent off fossil fuels. We need to not be reliant on geopolitical issues that can lead to a reduction in our gas supply, for example. So we need to get more wind and solar developed. So the EU policy for renewables is fantastic. The national policy is also very, very strong. We have clear targets for onshore wind, for solar, and for offshore wind. So everything at a national level is saying, do this, build these wind farms, get us off imported fossil fuels. But then when it comes down to a local level, very often that doesn't line up at all with the national policy. So you have An Bord Pleanála then have taken that position that the local plan outweighs the national imperative.
So how are we going to get joined up thinking between national objectives and local plans?
So there's two real solutions. The first is the long-term solution, as I'll call it, and it's the one that the government are currently pursuing, and it relates to the National Planning Framework. You might be aware that the National Planning Framework went out for consultation earlier in the year. We're going to have a new version of it. And in that National Planning Framework, it's going to set targets for at a local level for housing, for onshore wind, for solar, for a number of other things. And that will then lead to an updating of the county development plans to bring them in line with national policy. The problem with that is that will take several years. And the first wind farms that will benefit from that policy change will come online in 2032. So between now and then, we have a very significant gap that we need to fill if we're to keep growing our economy and hitting our climate targets. Which brings me to the second answer. The shorter term answer is that there is already existing legislation in the Climate Act that says that we must make planning decisions consistent with our country's climate responsibilities and our climate plans. That is clearly not being done in this situation. So I think a real imperative for the next government should be to work with An Bord Pleanála to get that legal opinion and understand, can they make decisions which are in the national interest and overrule county development plans?
Okay, now quite a few texts in relation to this. Declan's DeLorgan, please ask your guest, how are they going to reduce our electricity prices? If they're guaranteeing the operators the highest prices in Europe, we should use the Apple money to build wind farms on all uninhabited islands off the west coast so they're kept in state ownership like the old ESB days. And Leo says, we have the most expensive electricity in Europe because of taxes. Will any of the green energy be cheaper?
Yeah, absolutely it will. So the reason that we have the most expensive electricity in Europe, as reported earlier this week, is because so much of our electricity still comes from imported fossil fuels. We are at the end of the gas line in Europe. And as a result of that, we receive the most expensive gas. About 80% of our gas is imported at the moment. Carb is providing the rest, but that is going to dwindle over the coming years as CARB reaches the end of its life. So by 2030, again, we will be importing all of our fossil fuels. And unfortunately, that is currently providing a lot of our electricity, and that's what drives up the prices. We produce a report every month that shows on the windiest days when we have them in Ireland over the course of the month, the electricity price at the wholesale level is about half the price of that when we don't have wind available. So when we move ourselves off fossil fuels, when we move towards wind and solar, we will have cheaper electricity, we'll have more affordable, and we'll have more stable electricity prices, which is a real thing that we should be focused on. We have all experienced the huge energy shock that we've had over the past 2 years, driven by the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. And because of our reliance on those imported fossil fuels, that led to the volatility of us being exposed to international gas prices. If we have our own renewable energy, we're no longer as exposed to that. We can control our electricity price much, much better.
And Noel, what do you say to councillors who say the reason they're dezoning and rezoning is that the public have concerns about noise, horse flicker, scenic amenity? These are very large now. What do you say to those?
Well, if we look at, again, the national polling and even at a local level of those that are in favour of renewable energy, over 4 in 5 people are supportive of wind energy in our country. When it comes to people that are currently located within 1 kilometre or 2 kilometres of a wind farm, 3 in 5 of those people would prefer more wind energy in their area. And that's not polling that has been done by Wind Energy Ireland, that's polling that's been done by the government. So it is independent. When it comes down to the people that actively oppose wind energy, it's 1 in 20, Ivan. So it, I would challenge anyone to try to find 1 in 20 people that do not oppose something in our society. So this is something that the people of Ireland are overwhelmingly in favour for. Does it need to be managed and planned properly and robustly assessed by An Bord Pleanála? Of course it does. It absolutely does. And the developers that are building these wind farms around Ireland are very experienced. They have been engaging with local communities. And it's very, very rare that a project would begin its life and go into the planning system looking the exact same.
Okay.
Many, many considerations are taken into account during the community engagement, which help to move turbines or reduce the turbine size or even reduce the number of turbines themselves. So I would really encourage people to engage with your local projects if there is one in your area.
My biggest concern is from a national perspective that if you read the EirGrid report, they say electricity demand is set to rise by 50% by 2032. And my question is, are the lights going to go out? Already we have Amazon, who've invested 20 billion here because there's no planning permission for data centres. Their next 38 billion of investment is all for generative AI, is outside Ireland. And therefore all the money we're getting from the tech giants could disappear. We're going to have a growth in population of 1 million people. If we can't have fossil fuels, if we don't have nuclear power, and we're not getting planning for onshore wind and offshore wind as well, could the lights go out?
In the near term, I would say probably not. But in the long term, it's absolutely a risk, definitely. So Ireland's fossil fuel fleet is quite old. Our newest gas generator that we have on our system is 13 or 14 years old at this point. The future is renewable energy. And if we don't roll that out quickly, then we absolutely will have a shortage of power into the future. A lot of the projections for will we have a secure, safe, affordable, reliable supply of electricity in 2030 onwards assumes that we will meet our 2030 climate change targets. And at the current rate that we're progressing, we are absolutely not on track to do that. So that is something that we really need to get on top of right now, because you're right, Ivan, it's already becoming an impediment for companies locating in Ireland, not just for data centers, but for other manufacturing facilities, for pharmaceutical facilities. This is something that we engage very closely with government bodies on, with the IDA on, and it's clear that the information coming back to us is that energy supply is a real risk to Ireland's attractiveness as a foreign direct investment location.
Noel Kniff, CEO of Wind Energy Ireland, thank you for joining us on The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.